Okay. Thank you all for attending today. As Dr. Kowaleski said, my name is Nick Binder. I am a master's student at Michigan State University, and today I'll be presenting a portion of my master's thesis research, which is titled The Effects of Lightweight Rolling Frequencies on Athletic Field Surface and Subsurface Conditions. Lightweight rolling is a cultural practice in turfgrass management that dates back over a century. It began in golf, and it goes back as far as the early 1900s, where it was an important part of putting green management. Golf course superintendents used rollers at the time to smooth out the surface, the playing surface of golf course greens. Then by mid-century, it fell out of favor due to concerns with compaction with the heavy rollers that were being used at the time. Then in the 1990s, there was a resurgence in popularity due to a few different factors. Number one being the increase in popularity of sand-based greens, the construction of USGA greens and other sand-based greens, as well as the incorporation of high sand content top dressing. Also, improved technology led to lighter rollers and thus less ground pressure to put on the surface with those rollers. And then finally, increase in research with rollers led to more scientific data that proved benefits of rolling golf course greens. As far as athletic fields, there's a big difference in popularity currently with rolling. Rollers are used in sod installation for athletic fields. When newly laid sod is put down, rollers can help create the root to soil contact that improves the take of that sod. Also, it's used in early spring in northern climates to alleviate any undulations that are caused by frost heaving over the winter. However, it's very seldom used on a consistent basis like it is in golf, and there's a lack of research compared to what is out there with golf course greens. So because of that, our study objectives were, number one, to determine if benefits of routine lightweight rolling on golf course greens can also be seen in an athletic field setting, and then also to identify any negative impacts on surface and subsurface conditions due to frequent lightweight rolling. The study was initiated July 1st, 2013. It was a study that took place over two growing seasons and just concluded this past October. It took place entirely at the Hancock Turfgrass Research Center, located on campus of Michigan State University. And the root zone was a native soil base, which is approximately two-thirds Colwood Brookston loam, which is a poorly drained loam soil, and then one-third Abenabi K-Pak sandy loam, which is a somewhat poorly drained sandy loam. For the turf grass, this stand was established in 2005. It is Poa pratensis, or Kentucky bluegrass, and it is a nine-way blend, which was formulated in 2001 for the Spartan Stadium Modular Field Project. And I've got listed there, I won't go through them all, but I've got listed the different cultivars that are included in that blend. Our management practices for this research plot were followed closely to the practices of the athletic field manager at Michigan State and how she manages, Amy Foudy, how she manages the varsity soccer fields on campus at Michigan State, which meant that we maintained it at 2.5 centimeter mowing height throughout the study. 24.46 grams per meter squared of nitrogen fertility were applied during each growing season. And then our daily irrigation was set at a quarter of a centimeter per day, but this was adjusted based on heavy rainfall. And then lastly, core cultivation occurred in spring and fall, and it was hollow tine aerification. The setup of the study was a one-factor, three-treatment study. It was replicated three times. Because we were looking at, which I'll get into later, we were looking at ball roll, we had to use very large size plots and limit our treatments. It was a randomized, complete block design, and then all of our statistics, all of our data was looked at with Fisher's least significant difference test and a p-value set at 0.05. Plots were 16.54 meters by 16.54 meters, and the treatments were, the control was a non-rolled control treatment. There was, the second treatment were plots rolled three times per week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, And then the third treatment were plots that were rolled 5 times a week, each weekday. And then rolling treatments were generally applied between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. with weather permitting. The roller used for this study was the TrueTurf SR72 Sports Turf Roller. This is a roller that's comprised of actually three individual rollers with the diameter being 165 millimeters and the width of each of these rollers 1.9 meters. The total weight of this roller came out to 750 kilograms and it was pulled by a John Deere tractor with turf tires. For our parameters, the first thing we looked at, or the most important thing we looked at, was ball roll distance. We used a soccer field gauge, which was a device developed and used first by Steve Cockerham, and he used it prior to the 1994 World Cup to evaluate and standardize the different fields that were used for that tournament. It is a ramp that is just over 3 meters long and 2.135 meters high at the peak. With this ramp, it's similar to a stimp meter used in golf. The ball is set at the top of it, released, the distance of ball roll is measured, and we recorded this ball roll three different times in one direction and then three different times in the opposite direction in order to account for any slope that may have been on the plots. For soil moisture content, a TDR soil moisture meter was used, and it was measured at a depth of 7.62 centimeters and 5 random subsamples were taken per plot. Also, we looked at root stability, which is important for an athletic field. We looked at shear vein strength with a shear strength tester. This essentially is a device that is put into the ground, twisted from the top, and it measures the maximum amount of torque in Newton meters that can be applied before the turf gives way and tears. And then again, 5 samples with this one. For soil compaction or surface hardness, we used a Clegg impact soil tester, which measures the deceleration of a free-falling mass, which in this case was a 2.25 kilogram hammer, and again, 5 subsamples per plot were taken. For turf quality or chlorophyll content, an NDVI turf color meter was used. This meter measures the red and near-infrared reflectance, also giving you the absorption of chlorophyll-specific green light. And the values range from -1 to 1, with the higher numbers indicating a greater plant health or higher chlorophyll content. A few other measures we looked at, endpoint measures, were root mass. Soil cores were taken at a depth of 20.32 centimeters and a diameter of 3/4 of an inch. Broadleaf weed counts were looked at, both dandelion and broadleaf plantain combined. And then finally, infiltration rates were taken with a double ring infiltrometer. For the results, with ball roll, this is the one thing that we had significant results for that we can kind of talk about. But two dates in our 2013 data, on August 30th, we saw a increase in green speed or ball roll for the 5 times rolled plot compared to the unrolled control. And then on October 11th of that year, we saw both the 3 times rolled and the 5 times rolled did roll faster than the control. Moving over to 2014, there were a couple dates, one where the 5 times rolled plots were faster than the control, and then the other were both 5 times rolled and 3 times rolled were faster than control. For this data, we again used Fisher's LSD at a p-value of 0.05. Any dates that, just to keep this a little less messy with this much data on the screen, any dates that had no significant differences, I just removed the letters instead of having a whole bunch of A's all over these graphs. For soil moisture content, looking at this, across both years, on every single rating date, there were no differences at the 7.62 centimeter depth of soil moisture content for any of the treatments. Similar with shear vein strength or root stability, no differences were seen on either year at any rating date for all of the treatments. surface hardness, there was actually only one date in which there was a significant difference in surface hardness. That was the final rating date of 2013, in which both 3x rolled and 5x rolled were significantly harder of a surface than the controlled. Otherwise, in 2014, there were no differences in surface hardness or compaction. For chlorophyll content or turf quality, there was only one date that stuck out or was significantly different, and that was the 3x rolled having significantly lower quality than both the 5x and not rolled. And then in 2014, there were no differences with that. For root mass, going along with the shear vein and root stability, we saw no differences from the not rolled to the 3x rolled to the 5x rolled at the endpoint. And this was a measurement we took where we washed the roots of the soil cores, dried them, and then weighed them and saw no differences. For broadleaf weed count, again, it was both dandelion and broadleaf plantain that were counted. It was the total number per plot, and there were no statistically significant differences in any of this. And then finally, the infiltration rate taken with the double ring infiltrometer. It was the rate of centimeters of water per hour that passed through, and there was not any statistically significant differences with this as well. So with this study, just some conclusions. There were multiple dates in which rolling, both 3x and 5x per week, did statistically increase the ball roll distance. This is likely due to the common thought that rolling does have an effect on surface smoothness or ball roll, but it's a measurement that is, an effect that lasts only a certain period of time, probably hours. On our plots, we saw that routine lightweight rolling did not show any consistent benefits based on any of the other studied parameters. And it is to be noted that no consistent detrimental effects were seen for any parameter, even with rolling up to 5x per week. Just some additional considerations for possible future studies would be, and actually one that is currently going on and we're currently looking at would be simulated traffic in combination with rolling. Compaction is a big issue with traffic on athletic fields, so the combined traffic and rolling may cause some significant compaction that we didn't see in this study. Also looking at sand-based root zones for athletic fields, this is kind of what led to the increase in rolling for golf greens, so as more and more sand-based root zones are used in athletic fields, it's potentially something to look at. Also a comparison of different rollers as more and more rollers are on the market and different drive mechanisms, it's something that could be looked at. And then also I talked about rolling being used on athletic fields to repair frost heaving and undulations, and that may be something for future consideration. Just some references, and then a few people I'd like to acknowledge: Dr. Tom Nicolai, Dr. James Crum, Dr. Emily Merowitz, and Dr. James Flory for their guidance, as well as the generosity and support of the Michigan Turfgrass Foundation, True Turf, and JW Turf. And with that, I'll take any questions.
We have time for one.
Yeah. Correct. That is something that we looked at, and I actually saw no dollar spot at all. I don't know if it was during the time that we took it, but we did not see any dollar spot. It's definitely something that has been thought of, and in the study I spoke of with the traffic, we are looking at dollar spot with that and taking a look at that data.
Thank our speaker.